The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, thanks to Brian Bulaga. We always love talking to him. But he did interrupt the tour through the judicial system. And I feel as though the vast majority of our fan base, not everyone, I've seen a few YouTube comments, are enjoying Jesse's sharing his experience. So for those of you that aren't, this is a democracy and you have been outvoted by a landslide, from what I can gather. So Jesse, what's next in the story time with juror number 8 hit parade?
So for the record, I am happy to share I was juror number 11 of the 13. Juror number
11. What tier is that?
All jurors are created equal, except for the alternate, which I want to talk about for a second before we get to the rest of this. So the alternate system sucks.
Sucks to be you.
And I heard Don in Sun Prairie called in with his story yesterday. I was able to listen back on the podcast on the ESPN Wisconsin app at 1.5x speed so I could get through it quickly. So what you do, there are 13 jurors, and in some trials, we learned later on, that there can even be more alternates. They can have like 16 people sitting up there. But then the alternate is not someone predetermined before the trial begins. The alternate is not determined until everything has been heard through the closing statements. And then right before the jury goes to deliberate, the judge, and our situation yesterday, I don't know if this is the case in every courtroom in America, they literally have a bingo ball selector. Like the little like iron thing that comes in the little bingo like package that you buy to play.
I-24.
Yes, one of those. They have, so numbers 1 through 13 are in that thing. And he says, okay.
In that thing.
And we're going to go deliberate. Before we do so, we're going to draw this number. And he draws the number, and in our case, I forgot.
Quick
what.
Quick question, Jesse, yeah. If I may. Mm-hmm. The foreman or foreperson cannot be one of the alternates, correct?
The foreperson is not determined until the alternate is dismissed. So we don't know who
what do
the
you mean? No.
No, we don't
well,
know.
What happens if somebody gets sick? Isn't that the whole
that
reason
is,
there's an alternate?
Yes, that's why the alternate, and that's why they don't determine who the alternate is ahead of time, because they want everyone to be there, and then in case there's a family emergency, someone gets sick, whatever the case is, they would be able to remove the one person, and then you still have 12 who are on your jury.
So you're telling me that you could have been the alternate the whole time?
Yes, and I actually thought for content, what would have been best case scenario for me would have been to miss 3 days of this show, going to jury duty, and then in the end, not even deliberate and just pack my bags and
like
go
Don
home
and
right
Sun
before.
Prairie.
Yes.
Yeah, just the boot.
For the sake of content, that may have been best case scenario. I was not selected as the alternate. The person who was selected as the alternate did not enjoy being selected as the alternate, and I don't blame that person. Because
I don't either.
You sit through a court case for, and again, I won't share the subject matter that we were part
unpleasant.
Of. Very unpleasant subject matter. You sit through all that. You listen to it. You're paying attention. You're doing this. You're missing days of work. You're away from your family. Whatever your case is for why you're there. And then in the end, it ultimately, like, it feels like it doesn't matter because you just go home. And you don't get to talk about it with anybody. Like, brutal. Absolutely brutal, the alternate process. So I'm thankful I wasn't selected as the alternate, although I thought it would have made for good content. Okay. So I guess that's that portion of things I wanted to make sure. That was not something I was familiar with, so I wanted to share that for everybody who has never experienced this before.
Plenty more to come from Jesse's experience at the courthouse, including I am curious about the eating situation, because you did share a photo of yourself with the leftover pizza from the jury room. Or maybe it's even a video where you were. I think you were. You did a great job of promoting the show as you went through that process.
Well,
but
you.
I am curious about how they fed you, and I want to know more about the inner workings of it, but I also want to get to some of the other better stories that you have to share. So we'll get to those coming up. And look, if you're like Jesse and you've been on a jury for the last several days, you want to get caught up on the show, go to the ESPN Wisconsin app. All new, all redesigned, all free. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. It is the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app. A customizable homepage, easier and quicker live listening. Your shows at the touch of a fingertip. The ESPN Wisconsin app is available in both the Apple and Android app stores. So go download it today. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. More from Jesse's jurisprudence experience next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Jesse's story of being a juror. All right, Jesse, I know we want to get to some more Packers conversation, but...
And for the record, it was not my intention to do this all show long.
But... I know, but we had a lot. We talked a lot of football with Bulaga, so we're trying to serve both audiences. And we'll get back to more Packers conversation, but let's get a little more of a feel for the highlights of your experience, then we can take a break from it for a while again.
Shockingly great food at the Dane County Courthouse. Shockingly. Great breakfast sandwiches, great
is
coffee.
Is it the same food? This might be a dumb question, but this shouldn't be similar to prison food, the jury duty food?
I don't think so. Right?
Why?
Well, why are we punishing jurors?
But not punishing. It's not like you're punishing prisoners with the food, right?
Well, am Shawshank, he takes just... a worm out,
yeah,
me that he feeds it to
movie,
his bird.
The one movie, the guy got a steak from one of the great steakhouses, and he ended up using the T-bone to shiv the dude. But I don't think that there's...
What movie is that? Con Air?
No, but it's something like that.
If you're
going to
use Con Air,
Jamie Foxx is in it.
Reference point.
Jamie Foxx is in it.
Any given Sunday?
No, and the dude builds
Spider-Man
this underground
2.
Railroad. I don't want to spoil it, but he ends up killing
spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert.
Jamie Foxx and I don't remember the other actor.
Is Nicolas Cage in it?
No, but it's a Nicolas Cage type clone. All right, continue.
All right.
So yeah, they had a great sandwiches that they provide, or they didn't provide. We had to go buy them, but it was good. They said
law-abiding citizen. Thank you, Timmy Cleary.
Oh yeah,
law-abiding citizen.
Just
yeah.
I was just gonna. If you search Jamie Foxx prison movie, you get Just Mercy and Law-Abiding Citizen.
Who's the actor? Who's the guy that shivved him with the T-bone steak, with the bone? What's that guy's name?
Well, have Timmy text that to you. Well, Jesse tells
Tim,
the story.
Tim, if you got it.
A lot to follow
Tim,
up on
Tim, if you got it,
today.
Let me know. All right.
So, yes, then when we did the jury deliberation after we had heard all the things from the case, that they did provide pizza for us. I advocated for Pizza Hut. Unfortunately, they went
Gerard
with
Butler.
Someone else.
Yeah. Gerard Butler is the name.
Gerard Butler.
So, Jesse, before you get into the deliberations, did you take notes? What was the actual process? Because we had discussions, and it sounds like you couldn't.
So, yes, they provide you a notebook. And you are allowed to take notes, not during the opening and closing arguments, statements, whatever you call that, but during all of when the evidence and the witnesses are on the stand and all that, you are allowed to take as many notes as you want, and then the notebooks are brought back to the deliberation room, and then when you're done, you rip all the pages out of your notebook, you throw them away, they are destroyed. So you don't...
Why?
Yep, so you can take...
Why can't you keep them? What if there's an appeal?
Don't know.
Well, what are we doing
here? Then it's an
There's
entirely
an appeal,
new
you
case.
Wouldn't be on the jury. Yeah, they'd have a new jury.
Right. Like, my job is done. So what? The 12, 13 jurors, our jobs are done. Everything's destroyed. It's over.
You're telling me OJ's juror had to dump all their stuff? They had to write a book from memory?
Yep.
I don't buy that for a minute.
Well, I don't,
all right, continue.
I can't speak that the rules were the same in the 90s, but I can speak to what they were yesterday, and that is the case. So, yeah, they... It was shockingly similar to what you see on TV and in the movies. That's what stood out to me. There's a lot more showmanship than I expected in being a attorney. Definitely.
Give me an example. What does that mean?
So you know, like when you're an actor, Tausch, you did a lot of headlines last year for us.
I have. Well, no, and I also was in 60-yard line.
I think there's acting
available on Peacock right now.
There's acting, and then there's some overacting. And you can kind of see, like, when a point is made, someone sitting on the bench might go, oh, and it's a very oh, that's interesting. And
Is that attorney looking at you guys in the jury box when they do
that? A little bit. I think they know. You're a lawyer, but you're also kind of on stage at the same time because you're presenting a case. So you're trying to be persuasive and convincing. And so I do think there's an element of entertainment in a way, showmanship that goes into being in that role and questioning people and all that. So that stood out to me, how it's not just about the facts and everything. There's definitely this element of showmanship to try and persuade the jury one way or the
other. Jesse. Okay, so there's some theatrics. Was there one point you got the evidence, and again, we're not going to go over what the case was, but did you have did you have ideas like this guy's guilty? Was there any moment that you really got doubt put into your head or reaffirmed what your initial thought was during the case?
Definitely. I did not have a preconceived notion. I knew nothing about it or anything. And by the way, like I saw there was one tweet that came in during the show here. I saw this. This was very serious, and like we're having fun because they called out our show and everything. And the actual case and the responsibility itself, I do want to confirm. Like, I took that very seriously. Like, this isn't
we know you.
This is someone's life who is at stake.
I felt
here.
Like that went without saying, but apparently you need to say it for one person.
Sometimes I agree.
You know, we're not making fun of the judicial system. Well, I'm not making fun of the judicial.
Well,
I don't know if you guys
did
are.
Earlier
but,
well, with
week.
Your yeah. theatrics, yeah. I'm expecting you to go to law school.
So I did not go in with any preconceived notion, and I would say we wouldn't be there if there was, you know, black and white, he did it or he didn't do it.
That's definitely not true.
Well,
continue.
There was a very good.
I agree.
If people say they're not guilty, they get to go to court, Jesse. They could be guiltier than sin, but they can say they're not, and they're going to go to court. But continue.
There were very good cases made on both sides, and it was not 100% concrete one way or the other. A deliberation and discussion was needed for us to come to the verdict we decided. I'll say that.
Okay, what was the moment? What was the moment that you knew you were going to vote whatever way you voted?
When the judge spoke to us just before we went back for deliberation, and he said, and this is part of the instructions they read to you, you are making your choice, and if you choose guilty or if you choose not guilty, what you need to consider is the evidence and the case made beyond reasonable doubt.
I've heard that.
And I've heard that before too, but I never, weighed it with the same magnitude until you're actually doing it. But when you're considering all the things, like, was there, could you hypothetically come up with a situation where he didn't do it? Yes. But ultimately, was the evidence there beyond reasonable doubt that he was guilty? And the verdict that our jury came to was, yes, he was guilty.
How quickly did you get it done?
Thank you.
So it's kind of like a casino. There's no clocks in the deliberation room.
I never expected
the
comp to be...
Up? Is the oxygen as pumped like up as a casino does?
And I put $10 on the Pacers to make it to the finals right before I deliberate.
I am dropping a hundo on Jordan Love next when we go down to Rockford. Yeah. I can tell you that. I saw 25 or 30 to 1. Love that. All right, continue, Jesse.
Nice. I'll join you on that. So we had a nice window with a great view of the lake. Great, best view in all the jury rooms anywhere, I'd say.
Well, like you've been to other jury rooms.
I'd put it up against any, Jason.
I'm not 100% sure. What are we doing in Madison? I don't know if we should be having lakefront vistage with that.
It was gorgeous.
Story.
It was raining on Tuesday.
And good food. I know, we need it.
Fantastic, yeah. By the way, At the courthouse, like, it's open to the public. You got to go through, like, weapons screening when you go, but you can go there for lunch. You can go there for breakfast. So, like, it's open to anybody. So, highly recommend.
After breakfast.
We heard closing arguments. I saw on the clock when we left, it was around 11 o'clock, and I believe we were back in the courtroom around 2 o'clock. So it was, you know, 2 to 3 hours deliberation done. We had a 30-minute lunch break, and then they had to call everybody back. They had to call everybody back to get in. So
sounds like a lot of lunches and a lot of sitting around.
You gotta have a well-nourished jury, Tausch. You gotta take care of us. Yeah.
Do you think the defendant knew that he was gonna be guilty?
He was cooked.
Hard to tell. You try to read body language. It's not easy sometimes.
Anthony Belton got good feet. I don't know. Did the defendant look guilty? I don't know. All right.
How did he react?
Not much visible reaction, I would say. Not much visible reaction.
He didn't shout.
How about the attorney?
You got it wrong.
Same. Not much visible reaction.
You got
from
it wrong.
And quite frankly, I was looking around, and I think a lot of, you know, when you're in that, it's kind of awkward. Because like, you know what's going to happen, and they don't. And like, so I was trying to watch the prosecution and the defense, like, to see like how they responded to this stuff. If it's like, you know, outrages in the movies and whatnot, and that wasn't the case. Like, everyone was very like straightforward. Like, this is what happened, and then they hear that. Like, so not much reaction from either side. And then what was cool is afterwards, and this will be the end of it. Afterwards, the judge came back once everything was done, came back and spoke to anyone who wanted to stick around from the jury. And he thanked us for our service.
And of course, you weren't going to go to work, so you stayed.
Yeah, I know I'm coming back here at 3 o'clock, so I stayed around for a bit. We had to ask some.
Or 11 o'clock.
We got to ask some questions of the judge. He was the judge who also oversaw probably the most prominent court case in Madison in the last couple of years. I'll let you figure out what that is. But it was kind of interesting to hear, you know, that, you know, his experience sitting on that case and other questions we had about some of the process. And then after he was done, he said that the defense attorney asked if he could come back and speak with us and would we be open to that. And
get Jesse's autograph.
The majority of us said yes. And then he came back and we, you know, got to ask him some questions about, you know, the clients that he represents and things like that. Just getting to know.
Not about the case itself.
Not particularly.
Did we get it? We got it right, didn't we?
No,
like, I mean, you wouldn't say that?
No, and there was none of that. It was more about, like, his line of work. You know, he's a public defender.
It was like a post-game presser.
Yeah.
It was the post-game presser.
It was the post-game presser. And I think,
is it hard to defend someone you know is guilty?
Yeah, that was one of the and that question was asked, but his response was very interesting in that, you know, he doesn't know if the people he's representing are guilty, or if he knows they're guilty, he's probably not going to be representing them. But what I thought stood out was he said that when you have a public defender, and God bless the public defenders and what they do, because there's that is a tough job. And
totally agree with that.
They travel all around the state. It's crazy. So what he said is what he does is he defends the Constitution. And the Constitution says, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And so he's there not necessarily representing an individual client. He's there representing to make sure that the system goes correctly. And that was, you know, you hear that in textbooks. You hear that in class. You hear that in whatever. But then to actually experience it and go through it, it means more that way. So ultimately, people have asked me, was this fun? My answer is no. It was fulfilling and it was enriching. But I don't think it was fun. I wouldn't say that. except for the part where he called out our show in the selection. But that was fun.
Fulfilling and enriching.
Did so when you are ask you eligible? The judge, if the judge likes our show.
I did not. I did not ask the judge if he would subscribe to our podcast. I should have done that. I apologize.
That is a missed opportunity.
He said, like, judging Jacob Monk, I haven't listened to your show enough to know if you guys are good or not. And I would not want to pass judgments without all the facts of the case.
Very kind. Judge was very kind. Bailiff was incredible. She had jokes for us all the time. And I think especially because of the case that we were hearing, it was nice to, like, have a lighthearted... some lighthearted stuff going on outside of the courtroom.
What do you have to do to be a bailiff? I feel like I'd be a good bailiff.
It's mostly escorting and knowing the process, yeah. And then if stuff gets real, being able to step in, and it's kind of like...
Yeah, I think I want to be a bailiff.
I think there's some... I don't want to discredit
with
anyone.
Your knee...
I think he could do it.
I can get that.
With your knee...
I could still...
You got to be quick in moments.
I'm going to promise you this. I'll take you down.
Good feet.
I can guarantee that.
Selective speed. I think there's similarities to being a bouncer.
Does a bailiff have a gun on him?
You know, I don't know.
Pretty sure they do.
You don't know. You just spent three days with a bailiff that you said you loved.
I never looked. I didn't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm focused on a lot of other things.
Too busy listening to her jokes.
I think
she gave me a few new pirate ones.
What do you call a judge?
I might become a new bailiff. You know what? I want to sail and I want to be a bailiff. I just found two new things I want to do. I'm going to be a bailiff sailor. That's what I want to do.
Court bailiffs, according to Google, do carry guns.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So.
Was the bailiff like cracking jokes, or what was so great about this bailiff?
She was very nice to us. She instructed us on what was happening. She was informative. She was lighthearted when needed. She was serious when needed. Very helpful. Went and got us some stuff when we were requesting. Especially as we reviewed the evidence, there was a particular moment where people needed some extra stuff, and she was on it.
Do you do an early vote, like right when you get back in, like in the movies, and it was it 11-1 or was it 12-0, but we want to continue to work through the process?
We discussed first, then voted. So we were not unanimous
blind
when we
ballot
went back.
Or
then.
Raise your hand?
Blind
ballot?
Vocal going around the table. So yes or no going around the table out loud. We didn't.
Was it 12-0?
It was not the first time we did it.
Wow.
Were you guilty or innocent the first time?
I said guilty the first time. Also, I was not the four person, which you probably would have heard that I was already if I
yes.
had been. So.
Oh, I'm
you
sure
were
we
pushing
would.
Hard for
yeah.
that.
There were multiple people who wanted to be the four person, so I said, that's okay. I don't want it that bad. So I stepped back. So,
well, do you think you would have been better?
No, we actually, our four person had been the four person on two other cases. So we had a very
experienced four person.
Yes, we had the Aaron Rodgers of four people. Maybe that's not a good, I don't know. Never mind. We had a very experienced four-person, someone that you don't get that lucky oftentimes to have someone with that kind of experience.
So you could be that next four-person.
Has this person been on? Is this normal? Are there people that are on? Are there just professional jury people?
There are not. They pay you, but
it's a third
not enough to make a living.
Third foremanship seems crazy to me.
As many MVPs as Brett Favre has. So do you want to do it again? And when are you once again eligible? And does this make you more or less likely to serve again because of the rave reviews you received as a juror?
I am okay.
Like the pizza.
I am okay taking a long hiatus before I would ever do this again. I would do it again. It was valuable. It was, I don't know, important. Highly, like, I would advocate for you to go into, if you're ever selected to do it, to go into it with an open mind and know how important it is. I think, especially given our case matter, I would say I am very comfortable taking a break from doing this maybe forever. But doing it once was very valuable, and I did enjoy, as best you could, I suppose, the experience that it was.
Yeah. I'm out, Jerry.
You enjoyed it.
I'm out. I don't want to. I hope if I get called again, I've had it twice now and then I didn't have to actually go. I hope my luck continues. So, well, thank you. I say this sincerely, Jesse. Thank you for your service. I still can't believe the public defender is a huge fan of the show.
Big fan.
I am blown away by that.
He may have trivia questions for us in the coming weeks.
Oh, that'd be great.
Lenny's legal trivia.
Isn't legal based. If it's not Perry Mason or Matlock or something of that ilk, I'm going
to
be very.
Oh no, he wants to do geography trivia. He again, he's a public defender. He travels all around the state. He knows his Wisconsin geography.
Oh, he
as
wants
good
to be
anybody.
Contestant.
No, he wants to provide us geography trivia questions. So it would be.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah,
no,
we are happy with him doing that, but I also want him to provide us with legalese.
Yes, exactly.
A legalese question. Yep, exactly. Set of questions too.
So I want to know how hard they'll be too. Like how much of Westlaw do I have to know? Exactly. Voir dire. All right. That has been Jesse's tour through the judicial system. We thank him for his service and for his storytelling. And we thank Steinhoffels for their partnership from the very beginning of this show as we come up on our 9th anniversary, and we know nothing beats a great night's sleep on a beauty rest from Steinhoffels. Right now, you'll get a free foundation when you buy a Beautyrest Black or World Class mattress. Queen mattresses start at just $30 a month when you use Steinhoffels 60-month financing. And with Steinhoffels' 110% price guarantee, 120-night sleep guarantee, and free delivery, you cannot make a mistake. So don't overpay for a good night's sleep. Shop Steinhoffels in store or online at steinhoffels.com. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I remember. Oh, I remember.
I knew this was going to happen. I did not know it was going to be last week's trivia winner who would be the person who has been or at least knows about being a bailiff. So let's welcome him in so he can give Tausch the crash course in bailiffing. It is Mike in Franklin. All rise! Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Thank you for the win last week. I got off the schneid.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Hey, I just was going to give Tausch, just like I could not go in right now today and be a right tackle in the NFL, Tausch just can't go in and be a bailiff. It doesn't work like that. But I guess I was in law enforcement for 24 years, and then I worked with the U.S. Marshals for 4 years, so actually 28 years combined. I've done bailiffing with the U.S. Marshals, and I was a lead detective on several cases where we did voir dire. And so, but the Milwaukee Circuit Court, it's the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department that does that. Mm-hmm. Is trained law enforcement that does that. Something goes awry, they have to wrestle with a guy or shoot a guy or whatever. Hopefully that doesn't happen in court, but that could be a possibility. So that's why they have trained law enforcement for that. And then with the U.S. Marshals, they have retired cops that all do that job. They don't not just somebody off the street.
So you were like Tommy Lee Jones.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I had some major cases, and I'll tell you, with Jesse saying regarding the notes, and when I was a bailiff for the U.S. Marshals, we collect all the notes at the end, and then they just destroy them.
Wow,
it was kind of a. And as a detective, it was kind of neat because I got to be in on the voir dire selection with the attorneys, and we kind of picked the jury. So that was kind of fun. I guess in that respect.
So Jesse was, and understandably so, when he explained to us what the case was. But I would be curious, and I'm going to take a little bit of a serious turn here. You obviously have to investigate some pretty heinous stuff. How do you compartmentalize that? Like, again, and Jesse's, we're not going to talk about the case that Jesse actually had, but like, right. when he said what it was about, like, I was sick to my stomach just thinking about if I had to sit on that jury. And you're the one investigating right. people like this during your career. How do you compartmentalize that stuff?
It's not easy, and I'll tell you, it's hard not to take some of that stuff home with you.
Yeah.
You know, just not to get gross or whatever, but we had one case where a gal drowned her baby in the toilet, and it's like, I waited 38 years to be a dad, and I can't imagine somebody could do something like that, but yeah, this is the kind of stuff you dealt with day in, day out, you know, so. I've been retired 11 years now. I'm playing radio shows.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you being loyal to our show. That's for sure.
I have a question, if I may, Mike. So
bailiff.
Sure.
Bailiffs are, you can't just be a bailiff. Like, you have to be an investigator. Like, it's not just, I'm going to go into court, I'm going to escort people in, and I'm going to destroy notes. Like, that's not.
Well, you're serious about this.
There's more to it.
You want to know what it's going to take for you to be a bailiff.
I mean, there's still time for you, Tosh. You can go back and get certified in law enforcement. Unfortunately,
no, I don't want to go through all that. I just want to be the bailiff.
I can't be an NFL right tackle. I wish I could, but
that's fair. Okay, I just wanted to get an understanding.
I know. I'm giving you the business because normally 90% of the time I agree with you. This time it says a little bit. I just thought I'd give you my 2 cents on that.
That's fair.
So you'll never.
So just like Newman
becoming a banker.
There you go.
You will never get to live out your dream.
I have a question for Tosh real quick. Tosh, were you guys in Florida in 2011, like November-ish? I could have swore I saw you. You were a couple seats behind me at the Disney stuff. But
Where were you in November 2011?
Just wait. You're asking me. I don't even remember being out at the golf course on Monday. You're asking me where I was in November of 2011?
It was around 11-11-11.
Mike?
So somewhere in those
seconds. Mike.
Hey, I'm telling you, you ask old girl, and she's going to tell you guys were on vacation in Florida.
All right, I'll text
I'm
her.
I'm telling you.
I'll text old girl and find out. So just wait. November of 2011, we were in Florida.
Yeah.
Is there a certain part of Florida?
Disney.
We were down at Disney, whatever. Yeah.
Maybe it was Jack.
Max would have been about a year old. I don't believe that. I know we went down there when he was probably 4 or 5. Maybe I'll be wrong. And Mike, if I am, I will let you know on air that we were down there. But I don't know at this point.
You know what it was? It was when the Packers were undefeated. I think they're like 11-0 or something. You know, because it was in November. They hadn't lost the game yet. And then shortly after that, they
That would have been 11.
That's great.
So yeah.
That was the season they should have won another championship.
You know,
but
let me tell you guys something. As a detective, if you don't have a good memory, you're in trouble. And
I'm not a detective.
You know what? Then the defense attorneys would say, hey, that's on the middle of page 11. And you could tell they're pretty frustrated. They're going, how is this guy with average intelligence outsmarting me? It was fun.
Well, they're also questioning your ability to identify people as a witness because this probably wasn't Tausch. Might have been Jack Black.
Yeah, it was either Tausch or Jack Black. I couldn't tell which.
There you go.
Well, there we go.
All right, Mike, we appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
So what I just learned from Mike, I ain't going to be no bailiff. Like, that ain't happening.
Well, you could if you chose to go through the process of
I'm not going to do that.
Certification in law enforcement.
Could I do psychology without going through the process, but with my knowledge,
dime store psychology,
could I like start a psychological shop and just have people come in?
A psychological shop? Is that what you just said?
But yeah, like where people could just come and talk, and I'm not giving you, life advice.
Psychology shop.
Can you do that, or is that?
We're offering 2-for-1.
You're taking out
and a free bike.
You're kind of discrediting bailiffs and psychiatrists today.
Nobody's discrediting anybody.
You can just start. You can just do a pop up and just do both of these things.
Pop up psychology office.
I legitimately believe that if people came in and laid down on a couch, I could help them. I believe that. Whether or not, I have no scientific degree, I have no psychological degree, none. I thought about it. I didn't. But I do think I could do that.
I believe that you believe that.
Okay.
And I believe that Associated Bank is where you want to be if you want great customer service and Packers checking, Brewers checking, or Badgers checking. They've got them all. But, again, the most important thing is that they've got the best customer service in the industry, and they've got the awards to prove it. So whether you're looking for early pay, or you're looking for better fraud protection, or you're looking for credit monitoring, well, guess what? You get them all, and then some, from Associated Bank. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. We're not done with the 10 o'clock hour just yet. Barney Fife and I continue. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Molly Brown from Jim, Matt, and Molly, a finalist for Best of Madison Radio Team. Help us take home the gold and vote for us every day at MadisonMagazine.com/BOM.
All right, we got some other things we want to get to in the 11 o'clock hour, so let's put a bow on Jesse's trips through the law and order experience. Did you get any text messages on this that jumped out at you, Jesse?
Nothing specifically about my involvement, I suppose. I put a couple of those up earlier. I do have one here. I don't have time to put it up on the video stream, but Mike and Kendall says, I think as long as Tausch didn't sell himself as a therapist, he could probably start a business advising people. He could put
life coach.
You could put an empty frame on the wall, call it Tausch's 2 cents. No diplomas needed, from Mike and Kendall.
That's not bad, Mike and Kendall. Is that Mike and Kendall, or Mike in Kendall, Wisconsin?
In the city of Kendall. I do not know where that is.
Where is Kendall at? Let's get your defense attorney, buddy, and he's going to do trivia, geography. Let's see if he knows.
So, and I guess that's the other question I have, and we'll just ask this on the air here. I do have his number, the defense attorney, if we ever do want to have him on for anything in particular. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, that we have an arsenal here available to us, and that we have potentially more content from our experience on this show.
Yeah. Jesse, I want to put a bow on this by saying thank you. You provided really good content, and you may have booked your first guest of 2025. So that's pretty doggone good in a lot of counts there. That's pretty good.
I would add, I'm really fascinated by your new buddy's job. I appreciate
Which
that he's supportive of the show. That seems like a really hard job. Like, I'd be curious, when he went to law school, was he thinking, I would like to be a public defender? Like, that seems like a largely thankless job where you get assigned cases that aren't necessarily glamorous or fun. Like, I'm really curious about that job. And the system would not work without people like him. So to him, a sincere thank you for your service as well, because I am intrigued. I don't think that's another thing I couldn't do. So again, we will get to Packers now during the 11 o'clock hour, but we appreciate Jesse sharing.
Now, are we on board with my plan? I tweeted out or a text to you guys about running a little case study here, because let me tell you something. Rashad Bateman, who is a wideout for the Baltimore Ravens, just signed a new extension. 3 years at like 36, I think, is the number. And you talk to Belaga about Romeo Doubs. I'm kind of interested in playing a fun little game here. Jesse as the juror.
I was
as the defendant. And I as the prosecutor. Or we could flip it. It doesn't matter.
Wait, I'm not the defendant. We're not.
You're defending the case for Romeo Doubs to get a contract extension.
So I'm the defense attorney.
Yeah, different.
It is what it is.
The defendant would be Romeo Doubs, I think, in this case.
No.
Yeah, I'm arguing on his behalf.
It's semantics, but yes.
It's something.
I don't think we've been particularly harsh on you today, and this is the second time you got annoyed with us. Specifically me.
When else did I get annoyed with you? I got annoyed with you earlier, because you were being a dink. you were being a dink, and I was annoyed. Yeah, oh, that happens on this show. Get over it. Plenty of times I'm a dink and you get upset. So
you leaned
get
back
over
in
it.
Your chair and pouted. That's usually my move.
No, you shut me off, and that's fine. But then take over if you're going to do that, and that's fine. Go
just,
for it.
When he asked me about moderating things between you two, I think this is what he was talking about.
The American Family Insurance Championship returns to Madison. We're excited. We're going to be there tomorrow. Steve Stricker hosts the PGA Tour Champions event, June 6th through the 8th. I just saw Jordan Love going to be hanging around the media center. He's going to be around doing some stuff at the AmFam Champ. You got the concert tomorrow night. You got the big old shootout on Saturday afternoon. You got everything. It is one of our favorite days. And, again, that is this weekend. We'll be there tomorrow through the 8th. Get details and ticket info at amfamchampionship.com.
I'll tell you about Behind the Bucks a little bit later in the program. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around, please.
Oh, it's by Mauston. Oh, I know where Mauston is. Kendall.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.